Today Shirim Sakva Basra Daf Kuf Ayin Hey. We will begin on Daf Kuf Ayin Dalad Amud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara Amar Rav Huna, Shchimer Rashi Higdish Kol Nechosov. We've spoken extensively in our Masechta about a Shchimer. So Shchimer was Magdish, all of his assets. And then he said, Vamon Mona Leploini, $100 that I, $100 of mine, I owe to someone. So the halacha is neman. We believe him. Why? Because chazaka in adam ois knunyan al hegdish. He wouldn't say it if it wasn't the truth. And a person wouldn't say that he owes somebody else the money if it really belonged to hegdish and was just trying to create a fraud that he and this individual who he says he owes this money to would share it. Taisvis asks a question. A very nice chazara review issue that we discussed earlier in our Masechta. We discussed earlier in our Masechta a question the Gemara asked. We know, Divrei Shchimer k'ksuvin k'mesurim dami. Whatever he says, we have to follow. But we also know that this special rule that applies to Shchimer has in it two elements. One is that if he gets better, Baruch Hashem, the gift is nullified. Furthermore, that even while he's a Shchimer, he could change his mind. And the Gemara asks, certainly so is the halacha of a Shchimer is giving a gift to another individual. The Gemara asks, what would be the halacha of a Shchimer is being magdished in the Chosim? Will the same halachas that I just mentioned apply? Says Taisus, our Gemara should clearly be an indication that they don't apply. Because if the halacha is that a Shchimer could always change his mind, so of course he could say that I owe somebody money. He could change his mind altogether. So Taisus and the Ritva give two different answers to this question. Taisus answers that our Gemara is referring to a situation where the Shchimera was magdish these nechasim while he was still a bari. So the special rules that apply to Shchimera only are in a situation when he was magdish the nechasim when he was a Shchimera. But if he was magdish the nechasim while he was a bari, certainly he cannot retract. And that's the case of our Gemara. Ritva gives another answer. Ritva says as follows. There are, as I said, two rules regarding Shchimera. One is that when he gets better, the gift is null and void. And the other halacha is that he could change his mind. Says the Ritva, even if we had a discussion in the Gemara, when a Shchimera gets better, if he was magdish his nechasim, does the gift become null? That's only regarding that aspect. But regarding the question that while he's a Shchimer, can he change his mind? He certainly can't change his mind. And that's the aspect that the Gemara is speaking about. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out that our Gemara says that Chazaka in a Shchimer who's about is different than a Bari. A Shchimer ain't a Knunyan HaHegdish. He doesn't make a Knunyan HaHegdish. Why? So Mefarshim explained very simply. Somebody who's Baruch Hashem, healthy, he could say, you know what, I want to make this conspiracy so I could get the money. I'm going to be healthy. I want the money. I'm going to use the money. But this Shchimera is dying anyway. So why would he do such a fraud that he won't be able to enjoy the fruits of his labor? Another point I saw that the Shem Tzirem Balocha makes. Al Gemara is differentiating, as I just explained, between when it's Hegdish and when it's a Bari. Not Hegdish. When it's not Hegdish. Where do we see such a concept that Hegdish is different? So he says, the halach is regarding chametz. The halach is, if you have chametz in your home on Pesach, you have to build a petition. You can't just leave chametz exposed in your house on Pesach. But if the chametz is Hegdish, then you don't have to build a petition. Why? Because Hegdish people treat differently. Ask the Gemara, Maskelov Rav Nachman. V'chi adam ois k'nunya bana. We're saying a person doesn't make a k'nunya on Hegdish. Does a person make a knunya on his children? Yet, Rabbi Shmuel Damer Tavayu, Shchimer Hashem Amana L'Plani B'Yaday, if a Shchimer says, I owe somebody Amana, Amat Nu, if he said Tnu, the halach is Noisnen, then we give the person who the Shchimer claimed he owes money, the money. Loi Amat Nu, but if he doesn't say Tnu, a Noisnen. Why? Because we said that he really didn't mean it. Why did he say it? He just said it. Alma, Adam Asui, Shloi Lahazbi is Bonov. He just saying because he doesn't want his children to think that he left them a lot of money. He said, all these assets should go to my children. So he doesn't want them to get swelled heads that they're wealthy. So he says, you know, I owe a lot of money. Or another pshat is, he's concerned that there shouldn't be people coming to his home and steal. So he says, the money's not mine. I have to give it away. But the bottom line we see is that sometimes a person says something just for that reason. So I asked the Gemara, Hachanami, why not an Al Gemara? Don't we say the saying, Adam Osui Shloi Lazbias Atzmai? A person is saying that he owes the money, not because he really owes it, he just doesn't want people to think he's wealthy. Ask the Rajba an obvious question. He says, in the previous Gemara, where the person is saying that the Shchimer is saying I'm giving all my assets to my children, and he doesn't want his children to think that they're wealthy, get lazy. So he says, I owe money. You're not getting that much money. Here, however, when he's giving all the money to Hegdish, nobody's going to think that they're wealthy. He's giving all the money away. So how can we compare the two situations? So I saw many answers to this question. One answer to the question is that Al Gemara is not referring to a situation that he gave all of his assets to Hegdish. He's still keeping some assets. So he doesn't want people to think that he's wealthy, so maybe he's making the statement, but it's not true. Another teretz that I saw, that Al Gemara is going according to the opinion that we spoke about at the beginning of his shiur, that a Shchimer can retract if he gets well. So here, the Shchimer is hoping that he'll get better. And since he's hoping that he'll get better, he says, I want to be able to give it away in order, I don't want people to think that I'm a wealthy man. Similarly, we're referring to a situation that he's still sick, but he could take a while till he dies. So he doesn't want people to come to his house and steal. So he says, I have no money. Everything I owe, I'm going to have to give away. Our last teretz to this question is as follows. He indeed gave everything away to Hegdish. But even though he gave everything away to Hegdish, he's concerned that people are going to say, here he lived like a miser his whole life. And all of a sudden now he has all this money that he gave to Hegdish. So he says, it wasn't my money. I owe money. And therefore I didn't act inappropriately. The Paiskim debate, this concept of Adam Osu Shloi Lazbiyaz Banav, is it strictly by children or is it by all Yarshim? But back to our Gemara. The Gemara's question is as follows. We said that if somebody is magdish all of the Shchimera, is magdish all of his nechasim, but then he makes a statement, but I owe somebody money, we believe him. Yet we see that if somebody gives away, if a Shchimera gives away all of his assets, and then he says, I owe somebody money, we don't necessarily believe him. How do we reconcile these two Gemaras? Answers the Gemara, Ki kam Rav Huna Hasam, when the Rav Huna said that if he gives all his money away to Hegdish, and then he says, I owe somebody money, he is believed, it's referring to a situation of Nakut Shtara. It's not just that he said, I owe somebody money, that the person has a shtar that he owes the money. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're understanding Rav Huna's opinion, Michlal, it must be, the Rav and Shmuel are referring to a situation, the Loi Nakut Shtara, that he's not holding a shtar. And they were saying, the Rav and Shmuel, the Loi Nakut Shtara, and therefore Rav telling us the following. Amar Tanu, what? So ask the Gemara, if it's referring to a situation that the person who the Shchimera says he owes money to is not even holding a shtar, so why should it make a difference if he said Tanu? That Rav and Shmuel say, then we give it to the person he claims he owes money to. It's a milvah apeh haver. It's still only a milvah apeh. And Rav and Shmuel, as we're going to learn in Amud Beis tomorrow, Rav and Shmuel Amud Tavayu, milvah apeh. If it's only a milvah apeh, ain't a goyva loyman a yarshim ala mekuchas. The yarshim don't have to pay it. So if we explain the Rav and Shmuel are talking about a milvah apeh, so why make a difference? Why would they have to pay it? So how do we understand Rav and Shmuel's opinion? Elam Rav Nachman, both Rav Huna and Rav and Shmuel are referring to a situation that there is a shtar. Again, just to review where we're up to. The Shchimera gave his money to Hegdish, or he gave his money to someone else. So Rav Huna teaches us that if he gave his money to Hegdish and then made a statement, but I owe somebody money, and Rav Huna says there's a shtar backing up that statement, The halacha is that we believe what the Shchemira says. Rav and Shmuel are talking about a Shchemira who didn't give his money to Hekdesh. He gave his money to his children. And now Rav and Shmuel and say, now the Shchemira says that I owe somebody money. We're talking about a case that there's a shtar, because without a shtar there's nothing to talk about. But Rav and Shmuel make a difference if he said Tanu, he didn't say Tanu. So what's going on here? If there's a shtar, there's a shtar. What does Tanu make a difference? Explains the Gemara. Rav Huna is referring to shtar that's mekuyim, that's certified. And as we've learned Baruch Hashem so many times, a shtar mekuyim in halach is extremely powerful. Therefore, again, to review Rav Huna's psak, if the Shchemira gave was magdish all his nechassim, but then he says, I owe somebody money. And not only does he say, I owe somebody money, but to back up that contention, there's a shtar mekuyim, it's certainly something that we'll believe. Rav and Shmuel, however, are referring to loy mekuyim, that the shtar is not mekuyim. However, Rav and Shmuel teach us, even though the shtar is not mekuyim, the halach is as follows. Amr tenu, by saying the word tenu, kaimei l'shtarei, that affects a kiyim. Loy amr tenu, but if he didn't say the word tenu, l'kaimei l'shtarei, the shtar is not mekuyim. So we're learning now a gevaldige chiddush. We're learning, till now we've always learned, that what is the definition of kiyim? The definition of kiyim is you have signatures on a shtar, and they're certified, they're validated that these are honest signatures. Now we're learning that there's a different way of doing kiyim. What is the way of doing kiyim? By saying tenu, that shows that the shtar is serious. And the Rishonim make two very important points based on this Gemara. Number one, we see here that a shtar that's not mekuyim is not necessarily weak when there's a claim made against it. There was no claim made against the shtar in our Gemara. Just the fact that the shtar is not mekuyim makes it weak that we don't believe the Shchemira when he says, I still owe money. Very big chiddush. Tysus essentially says it. Another chiddush goes back to an issue that I discussed the other day. We discussed, is there a reason in halacha, I said the Rishonim and Achronim discussed this, that a chassan should sign his own ksuba. And I said that the minig in many communities, Nachal Shiva says it should be done, is that the chassan should sign his name to the ksuba. I said it shouldn't sign in the place where the Edom sign. Why? Because now the Rajbah says, we have a Mordeg Chiddush. If I have a ksuba with Edom signed, and we need to be Makai, we need to certify that ksuba. And we can't find the Edom, we can't find anybody that recognizes the Edom signature. But if we'll have the Chosin signature on the ksuba, and we verify that this is indeed his signature, so now our Gemara is teaching us that verification, kiyum, is not limited to being Makayim the Edom signature. You could accomplish kiyum by having somebody else's signature, by giving the star strength, just like the word tenu gives star strength. Similarly, verifying that the chassan's signature is his signature, even though you couldn't verify the edim, will be considered a kiyum. And that's why, says the Rajba, you should have a chassan sign his own star. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabba, Shchemira Shama Mona Leplani. If a Shchemira says, Mona Leplani B'yayda, I owe somebody money. And then the assignment says, Piranu, we paid it off, Namanim. The assignment are believed. However, if the Shchemira said, Tanu Manu Laplani, he used different wording, Vamri Yisayimim, then the assignment come and say, Piranu, Ein Namanim. We don't necessarily believe them. I asked the Gemara, Klapalai Yipcha Mastabra, it should be just the opposite. Amit Tanu Mana, if he said the word Tanu Mana, Kivan, the Pask Avon Lamilsa, we just finished learning in our Gemara that Tanu represents a very strong statement. So where he used the word Tanu, and he made this very strong statement, Kivan the Pask Avon Lamilsa, there we could say that when they heard their father say that it's paid off, we could believe him that they knew that the father that when they said the father said Tanu, so it means that the father was very serious, and they went and paid it, and therefore when they come and say that they paid it, we'll believe him. Amit numana, kivin the paskavulam il say, since the father made such a strong statement, iklamem the pari. So we could indeed believe the assumption that they paid it off, because they took their father's statement extremely seriously. However, If all the father said was manu l'ploni b'yadei, so it wasn't such a strong statement in the first place. Kivin d'lo pasuk avu l'milsa. He didn't make such a strong statement. If anything, there we could argue iklamem d'lo pari, that he didn't pay it up. So if anything, the halacha should be just the opposite. That if the father said tanu, that's a statement that the son will take seriously, and therefore if they come afterwards and they say that we paid it up, we should believe them. Whereas if all their father said was not with a tanu, so it's a statement they don't take seriously, why do we believe them that they paid it up? So Rishayim asked the obvious question. Normally, what would the Gemara do with such a question? Say, Yipcha, reverse the position. Our Gemara doesn't say that we should reverse it. Why? Why does the Gemara say we should reverse it? So I saw a number of Turetzim. One Turetz is because they knew that wasn't true. You can't just say Yipcha if it's not true. Furthermore, they really felt, the Gemara felt, that the Yisrael should be believed in both situations. It shouldn't make a difference if he said tanu or not. If the father gave a directive, and then they said we fulfilled the directive, they should always be believed. Whatever words he used, children have to do what the father says. And that's why the Gemara looks for different teretz. Ella says the Gemara, yitma hoch yitma. If we want to learn what Rabbi says, this is what he said. Shchibra hasham amana l'plani b'yadai. And the Shemara says, I owe somebody money. And then the Yisrael says, Chozavu amalanu abba prati, that our father afterwards remembered and says, you know what? I don't owe him the money. Namonim, then Namon, my tama, at Kuri Matka. He remembered that he paid it off. However, if the father used a stronger language, which we said Tanu is a stronger language, that he used the language of Tanu mona l'plani, and then the son come and say, Chazo Amar Abba Paratif. Their father said, remember, no, I don't owe the money. I paid it up. Ain't the money. Why? Then Issa the Pare Loyava Amar Tanu. So Pshat in the Gemara is as follows. We've been learning that the word Tanu represents a very strong obligation. The father, if he had a doubt, if he paid, would have never used the word Tanu. So if the son come and say, the first the father said Tanu, then afterwards they say the father said, you know what, I remembered, I don't owe the money. Can't be believed. Because if you had a doubt, if you owed the money, you would have never used the word tanu. But if the father in the first place never used the word tanu, there we could believe the assignment that the father reconsidered and remembered, you know what, I really did pay. Why? The fact that he didn't use the word tanu indicates that he had a doubt. And that's why he avoided using the word tanu. Ask the Rishonim question that we should all be thinking. We began to share that the Gemara taught us a concept, Odom Osui Shloi Lazbiyaz Banav. Sometimes the Shchemara makes these statements because he doesn't want the children to think they're wealthy. So why don't we just say, you know why the father made the statement? Because he didn't want his children to think that they're wealthy. And therefore the father should be believed afterwards, say, I really paid it up. I just said it just so you shouldn't think you're wealthy. What happened to that concept? So Rishonim answer very beautiful teretz. Just because we began to share today with a concept of Odom Osui Shloi Lazbiyaz Banav, it doesn't mean that we always apply the concept. We have to look at the context. If the context is like a context that we began to share, that the Shchemara is giving out money to all his children, and then he says, but you know what, I owe money. So there it makes sense to say that he said it because he doesn't want his children to think that they're wealthy. But if it's not in a context that he's giving his children money, that there should be a reason to say that he doesn't want them to get swelled heads, so there we don't say, oh, the Master Shloi Lazbiyaz Banav. And therefore the Gemara couldn't offer that teretz, because here he wasn't giving the children anything. He's just saying he owes money. Says the Gemara, Bai Rava, Shchemara Shahoida. We're speaking about a Shchemara agreeing that he owes money. Now the halacha normally is, if somebody says, we learned this Gemara, if somebody just says, I owe money to somebody, I walk over to you and I tell you I owe you money, it's meaningless. Because there's a concept of b'shat anibach. I was just playing with you. What you need to do is designate Edom. And not only do you need to designate Edom, if you want the Edom to record that admission, you have to give them authorization to record it. Ask the Gemara, does this apply by Shchemara also? Boy Rava, Shchemara Shahoida. Shchemara is saying to somebody else, I owe money. Mau. Must he appoint as Edom like a regular person? Furthermore, Do the Eidim have to get authorization to record the admission? Why? Do we say Adam Mishat B'Shas Misa or Ain Adam Mishat B'Shas Misa? In a regular Baruch Hashem healthy person, there is no question that a person didn't mean what he said. But here we're talking about a Shchimera. He's very ill. There maybe we say if he said it, he meant it. And even if he didn't appoint the Eidim, and even if he didn't authorize the Eidim to write it, the Eidim are Eidim, and they could write it. Bas the Baya had the Pashto. The halacha is Ein Od Mishat B'Shas Misa. When a person's holding by dying, it's a very serious time. The Divrei Shchemira Ketuvim Kumasurim Dami, and even if he didn't appoint the Eidim, and even if he didn't authorize them to write it, they are Eidim, and they may write it. However, say the Rishayim, even though the Gemara is paskening that the Eidim could write it, even without his authorization, they could only record it as long as he's alive. Once he's dead, it's too late to record it. This concept of Ein Adam Mishat B'Shas Misa is the basis for some very serious tshuvas. The Chavos Yoar has the following shayla was asked him. We learned the Gemara. The Gemara says that if a wife tells her husband that she was mezana, that she had an adulterous affair, she's not believed. Why? Because we're concerned Shema Nosnei Neba Acher. She wants to marry another person, but she wants to get out of a marriage, so she tells this husband. Why would Halacha ask the Chavos Yoar? This was a question asked the Chavos Yoar. There was a woman who was a Shchimera. And on her Shchimera bed, she tells her husband, I have to admit that I had an adulterous relationship. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps, she gets better. Is the husband allowed to remain with her? Do we say, a healthy woman, we have to be concerned, this Shema Nosnei Nebecher. But she is dying. The Chavos Yoar says they can't go back. The husband may not live with her. Similar shayla was asked to the Chassam Sofer. There was a shaychet. The shaychet comes and says, I acted improperly. And many animals that were treif, I declared kosher. And he said it while he was a shchimera. So normally again, if a shaychet walks in and says it, we don't believe him. Because we think he may have some sort of cheshbin. He may have something in mind to say it. But here, he's on his deathbed. And our Gemara just said that Ein Adam Mishata B'Shas Misa. At such a time, people are more serious. Says the Chassam Sofer, if a shaychet said so on his while he was a shchimera, everybody has to kasha the kelim. Says the Mishnah, Hamava's chaver b'shtar. If somebody lends money to somebody else with a shtar, so as we've learned so many times, Baruch Hashem, the halacha is gavim minchas mishabadim. That a lien is automatically created on all of my assets if I borrow money from you. And therefore, if I can't pay you up, you could collect from those assets. And if I sold those properties, you could collect from other you could go to the people I sold those property to. However, if all the shtar was done, all the halva was with Eidim, but it wasn't recorded in the shtar, then gaiver menachas menachayim. You could only be gaiver for the menachas menachayim, not from properties that were sold. Ask the Taras Chaim. What's Pshat? Concept that we've learned Baruch Hashem so many times. What's the difference if it was Bishtar or not Bishtar? Because we say something was Bishtar has more of a call. So if I borrowed money and a lien is created on all of my property, you shouldn't be buying property for me. Or you should know you take a risk when you buy property for me. So if it was done with a Shtar, you know that I owe money. And if you still went and bought property from me afterwards, it's the risk you took. But if it was not Bishtar, so then how should you know? And we can't put you into that position. Ask the Taras Chaim, in both cases there were Eidim. Just here it was recorded, and it wasn't recorded. So why is there more of a publicity when it's Bishtar versus when it's not Bishtar? So I think the Kash is better than the Taras, but he answers that by Shtar, besides the Eidim, you also have the Cipher. In the other case, you don't have Sofer, you only have Eidim. And that one person, that one extra person could create a call. This halacha, that when it's recorded in a shtar, it creates a lien, is not limited to a halva, the Rishonim point out. The same will be in a situation of a matana. Typically, it doesn't happen that way. But let's say I give you a gift, and I write the gift with a chrayis. The halacha is if the gift is taken away from you, you could go after my lekuchas. Now we have another situation. Let's say this is not a regular shtar, It's an IOU. It says that there's a piece of paper that says I owe you money. The halach is goyva min chasim lechayim. You can't go after the mishubatim. But the Rishonim have a very interesting question here. If we think about the situation of a shtar, of a milvah b'shtar, there are two special rules that come up when we think about a milvah b'shtar. One is the rule that I said a moment ago, the Mishnah said a moment ago, that with milvah b'shtar you goyva min chasim mishubatim. A milvah al peh you don't. Now Agamar is saying that an IOU that I just wrote is treated like a milvah al peh. But there's another rule. The halach is, let's say I owe you money, and you come and say, pay me up. So I say, I paid you already. So the halach is, there's a nafkamina. If it was a milvah b'shtar, so you could say, if you paid me, why do I still have the shtar? If it was a milvah al peh, we have an issue, because you don't have a shtar to prove that I didn't pay you. Why would be the halacha? You don't have a regular shtar. You only have an IOU. You have an IOU that says I owe you whatever. And now you come and say, pay me up. And I say, I paid you. Will that be treated like a milvah b'shtar? That you could say, shtar b'yotcha my boy? Some Rishonim learn it that way. Other Rishonim say that no. Our Mishnah is paskening that IOU, that it isn't created, that it isn't constructed like a shtar, is not considered a milvah b'shtar. You can't say, shtar b'yotcha my boy. Continues the Mishnah. We go back to the halachas of Arev. Arev ayotz lachachitim shtaris. If there's an Arev of guarantor signed on the shtar, but his name appears below the signature of the Edom, goyvim nechasim b'nei chayrim. You could only collect from the nechasim b'nei chayrim of the Arev, not from his nechasim mishubadim. Says the Mishnah, ma'aseh bo lefnei Rav Shmuel, such an incident came to Rav Shmuel, v'amar goyvim nechasim b'nei chayrim. Under these circumstances, you could only collect from the Chasim Nechayim. Amar b'Nanis, and b'Nanis said, no. If the Arev is signed on a shtar, and he's not part of the body of the shtar, he only appears below the signature of the Edim, the halach is enegay v'loim in the Chasim Shabadim, v'loim in the Chasim Nechayim. We don't consider that he really committed. Amaloi, so Rav Shmuel asked b'Nanis Lama, why? Amaloi, so he gave the answer. What would be, harei chanikas echa b'shuk? I see somebody being strangled. Doesn't mean physically strangled. Somebody, I walk in the street and I see a friend of mine that a malva is forcing him, you owe me money, pay me up. And I walk by and I see this terrible situation occurring. So I tell the malva, hanachloi, leave him. I'll take care of you. So the halach is, do I have to pay up or not? It says, bananas potus. I don't have to pay up. Because the statement I made, Shloi al menasa havayu. I didn't mean it. I only said it because my friend was in trouble. Ala ezu orev shuchayif. According to Bananas, when is an orev obligated? Only in a situation havayu vani noisimach. If I say, I'm going to explain this more tomorrow, before the loan takes place, lend them the money and I'll be a guarantor, then the halach is that the guarantor becomes responsible. Shekein al menasa havayu. Because here, he meant that he commits to be the guarantor. And we begin with trepidation, I say. The last words of the last Mishnah, Masechta Bava Basra, so Schia. Amar Vishmol, Haroi Tshishiyachkim, if somebody wants to be smart, Yasek B'dinei Mamnes. She'en Lecha Mekitzoi B'Torah, there is no subject in Torah, Yois Mehen, that is greater than Dinei Mamnes. Ve'en Kamein HaNoveh, they're like a spring. Haroi Tshishiyachkim B'dinei Mamnes, if somebody wants to learn Dinei Mamnes, Yishamish Shimon Bananas. He should learn by Shimon Bananas. The Farshim say, the Gemara says Yishamish. It doesn't say Yilmud. It's not just to learn by a Rebbe. You have to learn a Derech from a Rebbe, and the Rebbe doesn't even have to be a Samuch. Shimon Bananas, he didn't even have Smicha. But if he's a person that's worth to learn by, Yishamish, go and take Torah from him. So the Farshim discuss this Mishnah, obviously, the statement of the Mishnah. I wrote to Shiachim, Yasek B'dinei Mamnes. One pshat, I think this is the emes of pshat. It's as follows. People think that who is a smart person? Somebody who is a wealthy person. That wealthy people are smart. Teaches us the Mishnah, those aren't the smart people. Haroi tzishiyachim, you know who is a smart person? Yasek b'dinei mamnes. Somebody who's sitting learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dinei mamnes, that is the person that's a chacham. That's who you should know is a chacham. Furthermore, I saw from the Shvus Yaakov, who explains what is so unique about the Inimamis. He says a beautiful pshat. He says that by Issa v'heter, in all situations, so let's say there's a piece of meat that's really kosher, and I say it's treif. Nobody got hurt. I just won't eat the piece of meat. But if I am a dayan in the entire, two litigants come to me. There's no the winner is, if I pass in the wrong way, so the person who lost the money should have won the money. The person who won the money should have lost the money. That's why it's much more complicated at the entire Dini Mamnis than an entire Isvahetam. I saw, the Shemesh Shmuel says this, Rav Hutner I saw says it, the difference between the other areas of Halacha is that we're dividing between Tamei and Tahar, between Kosher and Treif, between Mutter and Asr. By Dini Mamnis we're dividing between two Jews' money. Much more complicated. The Ben Yoyada says the Mammon is Begematria Iyun and Begematria Sulam. You need to do Iyun. You need to really, before you attempt to pass on a Shail and Chosh Mishpat, Iyun, you have to really pay attention. What is the Halacha? But, it's a Sulam also. If somebody learns Dine Chosh Mishpat, these Masechtas, it's a way to grow in learning in all areas. In fact, there's a beautiful word from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, Haroitzu Shiyachdu. So Gemara is saying that by learning Dinei Mamnis, you come to Chachma. But if we remember, I think it's Gemara Masechta Brachos. The Pasuk says, V'hayu Emunas, Itecha Chosin, Yeshuas. And the Gemara says that each word in that Pasuk represents one of the other Sidre, Shisha Sidre Mishnah. And the word Chachma, says the Chassam Sofer, the Gemara says, represents Kachim. So how's Al Gemara saying that I wrote to Yachim? Is Yasek Dini Mamnis learn Baba Basra, learn Nezikin? You should be learning Kachim. That's Chachma. So he says Kachim are very difficult Masechtas. But how could a person attempt to learn Kachim and be successful? First he has to learn Dini Mamnis. Haroitzu Shiyachim. If you want to be successful, if you want to be in the Sulam, if you want to be in the ladder growing and being able to learn even, say the Kachim, first Yasek Dini Mamnis, get these Masechtas right. Another word, the Bnei Yisachar says, that why is it important that a person has to be careful with the food that he eats? Because if somebody eats Macholos Asurus Chas V'Shalom, it's Metamtem Libei Shel Adam. It physically sort of causes us not to be able to have a right type of heart in our Avodas Hashem. Says the Chassam Sofer. Not the Chassam Sofer, says the Bnei Yisachar. If somebody wants to have Chachma, if somebody wants to be able to be smart, Yasek B'dinei Mamnis, he has to be straight. If somebody's straight, then he's going to be successful to come to Chachma, to be a smart individual. Another verse from Ben Yoyada, a very cute verse. He says that somebody once was in a din Torah, and he lost. And he was very upset, and he started screaming at the Dayanim, you passed wrong. So they went over to him, they said, you know, you're a very religious individual. And if somebody told you that all of your dishes are treif, and you have to throw them out, you would have no problem throwing them out. So why over here are you all upset? So he answered, I'm not upset that I have to follow the halacha. I'm upset that he won. That's what the Gemara says. Ein lecha miktsoya. Miktsoya means the same word as tsoyak. There's no place where you find people not accepting a halacha like in Dina Torah, because it's like ukitz. It bothers you. What bothers you? Not that you have to follow the halacha. What bothers you is that somebody else won. But that's not the right attitude. We have to follow the halacha. One final word from the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe says a Mari de Gavar. He says that Rabbi Shmuel and Bananas had a machloikas in our Mishnah about the commitment of an Arif. And the Halacha, Rabbi Shmuel didn't agree with Bananas. And as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, the Halacha follows Rabbi Shmuel, not Bananas. Says the Satmar Rebbe, from here we see the two separate areas of learning. There's one area of learning. And Rabbi Shmuel was saying that Bananas is a wonderful Tom Rebbe to learn from. Not just learn, Yishamish, we said before. Not as a new concept. That a person should have the schus, he should merit that he should paskin correctly. That's a whole new bracha that a person should be zaycha to, which the Satmar Rebbe says requires tefillah, that a person should be mispalel, that he should be zaycha Basuki Shmaitza Aliva da Hilchasa. Special bracha, the special bakasha. Says the Gemara, Ama Ula, Dvat Torah, Midai Raisa, Echad Milva Bishtar, Echad Milva Peh, whether it's committed to Shtar or whether it's Bapeh, the halach is Goyim and Chasm Shabbatim. The halach is that all my assets become obligated to that loan. My Tama, because Shibud the Raisa. The halach is that as soon as I borrow from you, everything I own is subject. El Matam Amru. So why did our Mishnah say Milva Peh? If shibud the deraisa, answered the Gemara, here you bought property from me, you bought it fair and square, and you had no idea that I owed money. And therefore, to protect you, Chazal said that if you bought it from me, you won't be taken away. Ask the Gemara, we're so concerned about the lekuchas, so why don't we say the same by milv bishtar? Answers the Gemara, Hasam inen ninudav sidan nafshayu, as we explained in the Mishnah. If there was a milv bishtar, it's public knowledge that I took this loan. So, everybody knows I took this loan, and everybody knows that all of my assets, all of my property becomes mortgaged to the loan. So when you bought those properties, you knew you were taking a risk. And therefore I have no reason to protect you. If you wanted to be protected, you should have bought it. This is what we have as a title search. For Rav Amar, Rav takes a different position. Dvat Torah Midaraisa, he says just the opposite. Echad Milva Pshtar, Vechad Milva Peh, Daloch is Ein Goy Ve'el Min Chosm Neichayim. My Tama, because the concept of Shibud is Lav Deraisa. So if Shibud is Lav Deraisa, what does our Mishnah say? Ma Tam Omru Milv Pshtar Goy Ve'el Min Chosm Neichayim. If Midaraisa there is no Shibud, answers the Gemara, if I lend you money, and afterwards you'll be able to sell off all your assets, and I'll never have a way of recovering the debt, I'll never want to lend you money. So, and people need to borrow money. So to avoid that problem, Chazal said that a milva b'shtar creates a shibud. Ask the Gemara if we're going to follow that line of reasoning. So we should say the same by milva peh. It was concerned about kadesh like 10 of dust with may love him. Answers the Gemara, hasam les lekol. As we've been explaining, we only could say it in a case where the lekuchas are aware. If they're not aware, we have to worry about them. Ask the Gemara, umi amarava hachi, did Rav say this? Vamarava gavu karka, if they collected karka, did Rava say that Shibud is Daraisa? The halach is as follows. We learned earlier in our Masechta that a Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim. But where is a Bechor entitled to a double portion? Only in assets that the father had as he passed away. Anything else that comes later, as we learned Barichas in our Masechta, is in the category of Roy, and the Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim. So Amar Rava Gavu Karka, if after the father passed away, the estate collected Karka, so that's considered assets that the father had already when he was alive. Why? Because there was a Shibud, and the Bechor will be entitled to a double portion. Gavu Mos, but if they only collected cash or Matatlin, those are certainly not considered assets that the father owned as he was alive, and he's not entitled to Pishnayim. So we see here that Rava holds. Now, if Shibud is not the Raisa, so the fact that those kark was owed to the father shouldn't mean that the father owns it, that the Bechor should get Pishnayim. The fact that Rava says that the estate collects kark, it's considered as if the father already had it before he passed away, is a clear indication that Shibud is the Raisa. So how can we say the Rava holds Shibud is the Raisa? Ask the Gemara, if you want to say, as a teretz, Epech the Rabbi the Ula, or the Ula the Rabbi. Let's reverse the position and say that it's Rabbi who holds Shibud the Raisa, and Ula holds Shibud is not the Raisa. And that's not true. Because Va'ama Ula, Dvar Torah, Bachoy Dine Bezaburis, which means as follows. The Torah teaches us, the Gemara speaks about this Masecht Baba Kama, that a person who owes money what midaraisa does he, which type of karka, which type of property does he have to use to pay off his debt? Ziburius. We learn from this pasuk. So as the Rishonim explain, if there's a concept of shibud deraisa, and we're saying that where is shibud applicable on real estate, so we could understand why the Torah singles out the case of karka and teaches us that there's a shibud on the karka, and now Ula says which karka is there a shibud on? Ziburius. But ask the Gemara, if we're going to say that Ula doesn't at all subscribe to the concept of shibud, so why is the Torah telling us that the shibud on the Ziburius versus the other types of property? According to Ula, there's no shibud. So obviously, if Ula is explaining that the Torah is teaching us that there is shibud on Ziburius, it must be because Ula is of the opinion that shibud is deraisa. So we can't reverse the opinions and say that Ula doesn't hold of shibud. The Ula holds shibud lav deraisa, and Rava holds shibud deraisa, because we have a ride that Ula also holds shibud deraisa. So now we have a very big problem. Ula clearly holds shibud deraisa. And so did the Gemara say Ula holds. But Rava, how can we say that Rava holds shibud lav deraisa? The aloha that he said regarding Bechor clearly indicates that he holds shibud deraisa. Answers the Gemara. Rava, in that Gemara, when he was speaking about the halacha, when he was speaking about the halacha of the Bechor, was saying, Tama, the B'nai Merava Kama, he was explaining the position of the people from Eretz Yisrael. However, V'leilei Sfirlei, he himself did not subscribe to that opinion. In other words, Rav is of the opinion that Shibud Lav Deraisa, the Gemara that he quoted, that made an nafkamina between what type of asset the Bechor Yashins, that was a special halacha that he was explaining the opinion of the B'nai Merava. He doesn't agree with them because they hold Shibud Deraisa and he holds Shibud Lav Deraisa.